Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody, and have a wonderful afternoon, morning, or evening, whatever it is that you are enjoying right now while you listen to us. Today, I would like to welcome a very special guest. Her name is Kenya Asa. And Kenya Asa is an author of a book called, I will let her tell you about that. She's also a social worker. She's got a lot of experience in counseling girls from the early teens to early adulthood. And today we're going to hear all about her insight and her experience in her wonderful new book that is now available for you. So thank you so much for joining us, Kenya, and taking your time out to come to Tippy Talk and tell us about all your experiences. How are you?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to be here. And my book is called Sacred Girl, Spiritual Life Skills for Conscious Young Women. And like you said, I have been a social worker for over 20 years. I retired a little bit over a year ago. My retirement anniversary just passed. And so now I can really focus more on the type of work with young women that I want to do without the confines of being at the agency that I used to work for. So it's a little bit more free than it used to be. So I'm happy to be on this journey.
That's wonderful. Honestly, you don't sound old enough to retire. You sound like a 20-year-old. So that's wonderful.
Well, thank you very much.
But I have a little question about your name. What is Ruby Envy?
So that's really interesting that you should ask. So I'm a makeup artist also. I've been a freelance makeup artist for 20 years also, probably a little bit more than that. And my grandmother, who was in the beauty business, her name was Ruby. When I first started my freelance makeup business, I was looking for a name. And one thing that always struck me and many other people about my grandmother. She was very beautiful, and her eyebrows were perfect.
Wow.
And I used to always say when I looked at her eyebrows that I had Ruby Envy. And so when it came time to find a name for my business, I was talking to my friend Holly, and I was like, I was thinking about the name Ruby Envy. What do you think? And she said, oh, I love it. And so that was a lot of years ago, and it's stuck ever since.
It's a great name. And it's I thought maybe you have an altar or another name, but it's and it also you do other things. Makeup artist is one of the things that you do, and other things too. Like I think you are also a yoga instructor, right?
I am a yoga teacher. I had wanted to be a yoga teacher for many, many years, or to take the teacher training for many, many years, but it's very expensive. And so it took me a long time to get to a place where I could commit to that kind of it's a huge commitment. And I also work at a yoga studio every Sunday morning, just running the front desk. And so that's where I took my teacher training. That's kind of my yoga family is there in Berkeley at the place is called Yoga Kula. And they were very supportive of me, or continue to be very supportive of me, even where this book is concerned. And so that I finally got the opportunity, and it was amazing. I kind of felt a little bit like being in grad school or med school or something like that with all the
really
stuff I had to learn about. Yeah, with all it was not. I actually thought that it would be easier, and it was not.
Really?
No,
wow.
Not at all. But now I'm very confident in my ability to teach. But it was. There's a lot of Sanskrit, and there's a lot of anatomy, and you know, of course, you have to know what you're doing, or else somebody could get hurt. But so it was, mm-hmm. It was definitely a challenge. But I'm finally there. I'm very excited. I love yoga.
Yeah, they do make you work hard for it. So would you say that yoga is also a form of religion, since you have to learn a special language for it? There's things that you have to do in a specific way.
Well, there are a lot of people that use yoga in that way. For a lot of people, yoga is their spiritual practice. And for some people, it's just a way to calm down or to work out some body issues. And for me, I always liked it because as a social worker, I had a very stressful job. And mm-hmm. that was definitely one way to relax and center myself. And I had some of my coworkers sometimes joining me. We would just do yoga right there at the job. But I also had a really bad back injury about 8 years ago, and nothing was really working. And so I took up Bikram yoga very diligently, and it fixed me up pretty nicely. So
yeah,
for some people, though, it is very much their spiritual way of dealing with life, or I guess you could call it a religion for some people.
That's very interesting, because that's exactly what I said. I said, would you consider yoga some sort of a religion? And you responded by saying that it could be a spiritual practice. And I think that a lot of people confuse spirituality with religion, or a lot of people expect to get a spiritual guidance within a religion, which could happen. But it brings me down to a really important question, and it's about the book Sacred Girl, by the way. I love that title, and I'm going to come back to that title. But about that book, you talk about spiritualism. And so when you talk about spiritualism, and being spiritual, a lot of people think spiritual, when they think of the word spiritual, they think of different things. So
right.
How would you define spiritual?
So really the root of spiritual is Latin, and it means to breathe. And so what spiritual or spirituality really means is whatever makes your spirit or your soul breathe. And so whatever makes you able to function in the world, whatever makes you able to exhale and get on with your life despite all of the challenges that we all have in life, or the things that make you happy. You know, for some people it's, you know, whatever your passion is. So for some people it's singing or dancing or helping people, or whatever it may be. So it's really whatever makes your spirit breathe, whatever makes you who you really are.
Okay, so that's a really good definition that defines the word spirit. As somebody reads the book Sacred Girl, they basically keep that in mind, and that way you can relate to everything that you say in that book. Because if you have it, I found that a lot of arguments that people have and a lot of disagreements that people have is all comes down to how you define a word that you're arguing about. And when you come down to it and you go backwards and you define it, then there is no argument because the definition was different for both people. So obviously they saw it differently.
Exactly. You know, when I first started writing the book, I was thinking the same thing. You know, when I ran my spirituality group that inspired this book, there was a lot of conflict, amongst some of the girls that I was working with, because I did have, you know, a couple of very religious girls that didn't make the demarcation between religion and spirituality. And then I had some girls that had no spiritual connection or religious connection at all. So to have all of those different kinds of people in the same group is very unusual, because normally when people do some sort of spiritual practice or any kind of spiritual talk, they're all on the same page. You know, like when you go to church, everybody kind of believes the same thing or something like that. In this situation, you know, I was working at an adolescent drug rehab. And so some of these girls were, you know, younger, some were 18, 19, and they came from all different kinds of backgrounds, all different walks of life. And so bringing them all together under the word spirituality was something that we really had to work on, because it really was it's a confusing word. We don't use it a lot in our day-to-day life, especially when you're very young. You know, some of them were like, what, you know, really, really, what is this? And we did a lot of meditation. We did yoga. Mm-hmm. We did lots of groups and things like that. And so we did really have to have conversations about what is religion, you know, and what are we, you know, if we're talking about religion, what are we talking about? And if we're talking about spirituality, how that's a very different concept, and it's a little bit more private, personal, internal, your own, creating your own spiritual path, as opposed to religion, which is more following something that you're learning that really has nothing to, you know, you didn't create it. You know, but a spiritual path is something you create for yourself in accordance with your own needs and your own desires. You know, religion is very different. Religion is, I'm going to believe this because this is what I was taught.
Right. It's not what it should be, and it isn't always that way, but more or less, I guess that's
what
you got. So you talk about this group of girl that you were working in, you talk about them very lovingly. What are they? What are you really talking about?
You mean the original set of girls that made me write this book?
That's what you said. You just said when I originally worked with a bunch of girls, we had problems.
Yeah.
When you said it, it came out with a lot of love that you have for some. It kind of sounds like the Adam and Eve of your everything.
Well, yeah, so I love those girls. I love those girls very much. When I was a counselor at the adolescent drug rehab, and I needed to find something that would help them, that would help them connect and help them heal, et cetera. And so when I did this spirituality group, that was really what I was trying to do, was to find another avenue of working with them that was a little bit more important than me telling them what to do. And I still absolutely love them. Some of them are now in their 30s. A lot of them are in their late 30s. As a matter of fact, one of the girls that came to my book launch party a few weeks ago. I think she's about 39 or about
39. Wow, nice.
Yeah, I think she'll be 39 next month, but she was 15 when I was working with her, you know, and when I started working with her. And so it's just beautiful to see how they have grown up, and some of them have kids and all that other stuff, and they used to be my teenagers. And
yeah,
I'm friends with them all on Facebook, and I talk to them and stuff like that. And all these years later, here we are 20 years later, and I'm still close to them. I still think of them as my babies, kind of like all the kids that I've worked with over the years. You know, it's, there's just no escape. Once I'm your social worker or your counselor, there's no escape from me.
Once you step through that threshold, there's no going back.
Exactly.
But, you know, I really think that that's the way it should be. If you just go to someone and do a job and walk away and forget about it, then you haven't really put your heart and soul into it. And if you do put your heart and soul into it, then why would you want to just walk away and shut that door and never open it again?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, that is often the way that it goes when you are in this type of work, because it's so
yes.
overwhelming, you know.
Yes.
It's so overwhelming to do the kind of work that social workers and counselors and therapists do, especially when you're working with young people. It's so all-encompassing. And if you're kind of a maternal person like I am, it's a lot of responsibility, or it feels like a lot of responsibility. And so that was really the impetus, to be honest, for me even teaching them about spirituality, because my whole thought process was, well, I'm here now. I'm your counselor now. Every day you see me, mm-hmm. and we work together every day. But if I'm not around, you have to have some sort of tool that will take care of you, because eventually I'm going to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually I'm going to be
right.
at another job, or you're going to grow up and move
right.
on. But if you don't have these tools within you, then I wouldn't feel like I'm doing my job to help, you know, buffer you from all the challenges that you have in the future. So I'm going to teach you now. I'm going to help you figure it out now, so that when I'm long gone, you still have it. And so fortunately, what I have found with a lot of my original girls and some girls since then is that that really did work. I'm like, wow, I actually did something, and you actually listened, and it stuck with you. Thank goodness.
Well, obviously, you were very committed to what you were doing. It's not accidental that it stuck and that it comes. I think mostly if it comes from your heart, then it gets
mm-hmm.
accepted into the heart of most people. I can't say everybody's the same, but most people will, especially impressionable teenagers.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, they were very, very challenging teenagers. I mean, as a social worker working with them, and then later on at the county where I recently retired, the kids are very, very challenging because they've been through so much. And so you've got this extra layer of, you know, it's tough to get through to them. So it's not like your average girl who's got, you know, two loving parents and they're captain of the cheerleading squad or whatever. You've got kids that have been on the street or have, you know, been in gangs or have had like an extraordinary loss. And so then you have to get through to those kids, and it's like, oh my God, it's very challenging. But
yeah,
that's kind of my favorite. Even when my job that I just retired from, if a kid came in and they were a really, really, really challenging girl, or they cussing you out or whatever, they would always give that kid to me.
Really?
That's my favorite, you know. And I used to work with younger kids, and when I got the opportunity to transfer to working exclusively with older kids, my boss said, yes, definitely go over there because that's definitely your thing. And and yeah, I went out of the frying pan and into the fire. So it was like all
wow.
older kids by the time I retired, and they could be tough, but that is my favorite. Like the harder they are, the more I love them.
Well, you know, today it's a challenge for any kids, any teenagers to live through their teen years. You really don't even have to have a challenging, a specifically
yeah.
very challenging situation. So
true.
How do girls get over those challenges that they face today? How do they do that?
It's you know, that's such a complex answer, such a complex question, and such a complex answer. I think that the, you know, again, like the reason, no, it's good, it's great, because really that's my whole purpose is to talk about that, because the whole point of my book, Sacred Girl, is that it's up to you. It's up to you to figure out how you're going to get through these challenges, the challenges of life. And we know right now, especially, it's a really challenging time for women in this country and all over the world. I think women have always had a lot of challenges, so this is really nothing
yes.
new. But I think the new part is that they are really coming up and really getting together and really gaining strength in numbers and putting their foot down with certain things like the Me Too movement and, you know, the disparity of pay in the workplace and all of these things that have been going on for decades. Women and really young women are stepping up now and saying, this is no longer acceptable. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think that is where there's a big difference between now and say even 20 years ago. And one of the things that I try to teach is that you have to be able to put one foot in front of the other and be confident in your own goals and what your own dreams are. And that in order to do that, you might not always make other people happy. You know, if you're going to be yourself and you're going to follow your own path and follow your own dreams, that's not always the popular thing. And so we have to understand that, you know, we may have our goals, we may have our passion, but some people are just not going to support that because a lot of
right.
people want to keep women in their own little box, you know, and
right.
that we've been living in that box for a really long time. And I feel like these younger girls are not into it. They want to do what they want to do.
Right. And
you
they
know,
should.
Which is great. Yeah. Which is great. Yeah. A lot of people don't feel like that's great. But I feel like that's great. That's what I want them to do.
You mean that the girls should not be doing their own thing? That they should be just following
yeah.
instructions?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, and I think that it's kind of subtle, you know, even, I mean, myself, when, you know, when I decided to say, for example, when I decided years ago, I started thinking about retiring so that I could follow my own dream, which is doing this kind of work. And I remember the older women in my family were like, oh, no, no, you can't do that. You can't quit your job. You have to stay at your job until you're 65. And that, you know, then you can retire. And, you know, I have an aunt that I don't think she retired until she was like 75 or something like that. And she was like, you
wow.
know, and so it's that whole fear that keep, you know, that, and it was coming from a loving place. I understood that,
right.
but from their, yeah. from their generation's standpoint to leave a good job so that you can pursue your own dreams is a ridiculous concept. You know, like,
right.
You know,
right.
You don't leave.
It's
a
not,
solid
it's not,
job, so
what is it? It's right. Right. It's not
yeah.
safe. It's not, yeah, it kind of
Absolutely.
Is crazy, though, if you think about it, but
exactly.
not necessarily crazy
but
in a bad
again,
way.
yeah, sure, I totally get it, because they're, like you just said, it's a safety thing, you know, like, what are you going to do? How are you going to support yourself? How are you going to put food on the table? So it is stepping out on faith, which, you know, is part of my own spiritual path, which was stepping out on faith and leaving what we consider in this country to be a fantastic job with great benefits and a good money and very steady, et cetera, to not having any job and writing books for a living. And, you know, it's like totally for the older women in my family, that's totally crazy.
Yeah. Like you say in your book, the Me 101. I love
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that back up again. Because sometimes I forget like those things. I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote about that. So absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely a journey, but it's one that we can actually start a little younger, you know, really believing in ourselves and not getting to adulthood and saying, oh, well, now maybe I'm going to jump out on faith and try something new. You know, it's okay to explore what your real passions are a lot earlier in life, in my opinion.
Well, I think the earlier you get to do that, the longer you get to live a life that you actually, I think, may be meant to live and are happy with. If you start,
exactly.
It's never too late to start. I guess you can start in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever.
Sure.
Kind of reminds me one day, my mother's husband, I think he was in his late 80s, and I came home, and he's like, oh, how are you, how are you? And I said, what are you up to? And you know what he said to me?
What?
I'm planning my future.
Wow.
89 years old.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I had a boyfriend once many years ago who his dad went to law school because he had always wanted to be a lawyer. And he went to law school when he was like 70. I said, wow. You know, I mean, that is
really
a way to not give up. You know, you're really doing it. And the same thing with my aunt that didn't retire until she was older. She finally started going to like art school. And I said, I had no idea you were even an artist. And she said, yeah, I've always wanted to do this. And there was a giant picture, a drawing on her wall at her house. And I was like, gosh, that's beautiful. And I thought, yes, this is beautiful. Yes, this is wonderful. But isn't it kind of tragic that you wait till you're late 70s to start drawing something? That seems tragic.
It is. It is tragic. And that's why it's so beautiful if you can catch kids before they're even adults. And that way they can create their life the way they want to. And even those kids may want to reinvent themselves in their 70s and start something different. So it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily like, oh my God, too bad you waited till now. It's like, this is the right time for me. Before that, maybe I wanted to spend full time raising my kids or having the safe job that I hated, but I wanted to do that for 30 years.
Yeah.
So
that's what I did.
When it is, right. So when it isn't necessarily the important thing, even though it may seem weird that you want to start a new career in your 70s. But if you're not going to do it in your 70s, then you're never going to do it. The way I see it is if I turn 70 and I go to law school and I become a full-fledged lawyer the day I'm ready to die, it kind of feels stupid.
Right.
But I can definitely see the older I get, the younger I feel. And I feel like, I turned 50, and it's not like now all of a sudden, I'm a 50-year-old and everything inside of me changed. There's a part of you that always is a teenager. There's a part of you that's always going to be in your 20s. There's a part of you that's always going to be in your 30s. So it makes sense.
Sure. And it's also better late than never. you know, if you have a passion, and for whatever your circumstances are, like you said, maybe you're raising your children or whatever, or you just have to really work hard. Not everybody has the luxury to just drop everything and do what they want to do. I think that it's more important not to necessarily do what you want to do as soon as you want to do it. The point is to be able to understand what you want to do, know what you want to do, be able to navigate your way to that when the time is right for you.
Absolutely. And I think it's fantastic that when you have the ability to actually bring that wisdom to a young girl ready to go into life, mm-hmm. and to give her that kind of a blessing to be able to start life so much more with the wisdom of somebody that has gone through some of it and that understands more, that's really a gift. It's a very, very special gift. So for everything that I see that you do, it's about the group of girls, Sacred Girl, girls and women. So basically, there is no boys in that. You work mostly or only with girls?
So as a social worker during my career, I worked with both. My specialty and my focus was always girls that had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so that's kind of what my original passion was. And so I've worked with both boys and girls, but I prefer to, when I'm writing, I prefer to write from a place of a little bit more knowledge. I don't know that much about boys' internal lives or issues. I have an 8-year-old mm-hmm. son, and when I found out I was having a boy, I was really excited, but then I had a little panic attack because I was like, God, I don't know anything about them, you know? I don't even know what they
exactly.
do. Exactly. You know, I was like, I don't even know what they play with. Like, what do they do? So when I am writing or like really getting into some work with clients or with kids, it's mostly girls because that is my area of expertise, and that's, you know, I am a female, so I know a little bit more about women than I do about men. And so I'm not ruling it completely out to ever write anything about boys, but honestly, I doubt it. I think that I'm probably just going to stay in my lane and stick to what I know.
I don't know. You have a little boy coming up. You might have to go out of your comfort zone and learn some things about boys. I can definitely relate to that. When I was pregnant, I prayed to have a girl because I didn't know what I was going to do with a boy. I don't know anything about boys.
Right. Yeah.
I totally understand.
Yeah, I love boys, and I feel like they're, you know, they're kind of easy. I have a lot of godchildren, and some the girls are definitely a little bit more complicated. The boys to me are a little bit easier. But I think mm-hmm. also that just might be my perception because I just don't know their internal
right.
processes. You know, so they could be a lot more complicated than they look.
Yeah. Well, I think they have their own issues. Like girls have their own issues. I am very, very scared about this fluid gender movement that we're experiencing. It's very scary for me because I can see boys are definitely different than girls, but we'll see what happens. You know, things happen.
Yeah. I mean, I actually am really interested in the whole gender fluidity thing, and I write a little bit about that in my book about transgender and body dysmorphia, et cetera, because what I'm finding in my work and in some people that I have in my personal life that they, you know, there's always been that. People have always felt like that. People have always, you know, traveled the world like that, but just not being able to be out with it, not be able to be public with it. And I think that it's so confusing for so many people. As a social worker, we had to have trainings on gender fluidity and sexual orientation and gender identity. We had to have trainings about that because there are so many different pronouns that people are using, or you can appear to be a boy, but inside you're feeling like a girl. And so for the for the much older social workers, it was very confusing, you know?
No, absolutely.
It's a learning process. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with people that necessarily feel like they're in the wrong body. That's not a problem.
Sure.
That's something that they need to deal with, whichever way they can deal with that.
Right.
And I think it is very painful. It must be a very painful process. That's not what I'm scared of. People
right.
are people. What terrifies me is that the gender liquidity is so much more than that. It's like the new movement of not revealing a baby's gender because that baby may not be happy with the gender they got. And I think it's taking it to the point where it becomes scary, to that point where girls are not going to know whether they're girls or boys until they're 5 years old, or that's like to the point of insane. But anyway, that's like so far away from Sacred Girl that we don't have to worry about that right now. But as far as you're personally concerned, what do you really want the girls to take away from your book? What do you think they can really walk away with?
I want them to walk away with a feeling of power, empowerment. I want them to walk away with a feeling of connectedness, not feeling so isolated. Being able to really have better relationships with other people, because I feel like if you know yourself and if you are growing your confidence, you know, nobody pops out of the womb a fully confident person. But if you are able to gain some confidence and really, or if you're able to craft your own spiritual path, then I feel like you're going to be able to connect with other people better. You're going to be able to have better relationships. You're going to have some concept of your place in the world and how you are traveling the world. And so it's really about confidence, feeling empowered, and that's a way to be happy. You know, that's a way to be happy in this life. If you're feeling confident and you do not feel like a victim, because you are in control of your own spiritual path, you're in control of your own life, then I think that is really a road to happiness.
Yeah, I think one of the really important things that you do a lot of important things with this book, but one of the important things is to make people understand that spirituality does not have to do with religion. If somehow religion turned you off in any way, it doesn't mean that you cannot be spiritual. I think that's so big, because when you walk away from religion, you kind of left like, okay, well, what about my spirituality? Where do I go for that?
Right. Yeah. And like you said in the beginning, they're very different things. And there are a lot of people who don't feel comfortable with religion, or who just don't have any belief in religion, and that's okay. I mean, one of the reasons why I specifically talk about that in Sacred Girl and why it's not a book about religion is because so many people do not feel that way. So many people are not religious. Not everybody in this country believes in God or believes in a higher power. And so I really wanted to touch all girls and all belief systems. I don't care if you're atheist, you can still have your own path, you know? And so, and I think that it's inclusive. I wanted to be inclusive of everybody, you know, just because I wrote the book, that doesn't mean I want you to do what I do. You know, I want you to do what you do.
Right. You know what? I can even take it further than that. For me, just because you believe in God does not mean you have to be part of a religion either. You don't have to be religious to believe in God. I don't think God belongs to religion.
Absolutely. I agree. I fully agree. And I do understand that, you know, some people, that's that's the way they feel. They, you know, and I think that also religion is more of a group effort. You know, spirituality
definitely
is more
yeah.
of an individual. Yeah, spirituality is more of your individual belief system and your individual path. And, you know, with religion, it's like everybody's getting together so that you can support each other in believing the same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not for everybody.
No, and I think it's beautiful to have a social support group that believes the same thing
true.
You believe. I mean, I think that's very empowering. But
mm-hmm.
I want to believe in God, and I don't want to belong to a special religious order, and I don't want to do their rituals and their rites. Then it doesn't mean that I have to walk away and say, well, there is no God, there is no spirit, because I don't believe in the religious people. Yeah.
Exactly.
Then that's a very powerful place for a girl to be able to start life saying, you know what, I can be spiritual and I can even believe in God if I want to, even though I don't have to go to church or to synagogue or to temple or whatever.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really, you know, that's really empowering. That's really you being able to say the way I feel, the way I believe, the way I want to travel this path is totally okay. You know, it might not
yeah.
please the people that raised you, that some people might be like, you know,
if
it's important to go to church every Sunday or whatever, but it's not for everybody. You know, you can still love the Lord and not end up in church every week.
Or ever. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You just touched a very personal chord for me because I was brought up in a very, very religious, very structured environment, and I don't like religion. I did walk away from it, and I took me a little while to realize that I don't have to walk away from God. I always believed in God. I just didn't believe in the rites and the rituals of the religious leadership.
Sure.
And so it took
right.
And so I think if I had your book. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's also usually very patriarchal, you know. So I think that for a lot of women, it doesn't resonate because most of the religious figures are men. Most of, you know, definitely in the Catholic arena, the priests are all men. And, of course, you've got nuns and sisters and stuff like that, the highest level. You know, I don't anticipate seeing a female pope anytime soon or ever.
Oh, that would be nice.
You know,
oh,
I know that would be very different. And I think that might even change a lot of women's perspective about religion, or about organized religion. But the way organized religion, for the most part, all over the world, it doesn't really resonate with a lot of women because we're not in power, you know? And so it's challenging for us to relate.
Absolutely. We can discuss the religious set on women and on men for hours, and we still would not be finished.
Absolutely.
Because religion is such a huge part. But I think Sacred Girl has a lot more than just one mission for young girls. I think it could be a lifesaver if they actually take the time to read and to think about it. They may not even agree with everything you say, but just the ideas to start thinking about those ideas, that I think is enough. So thank you for writing it.
That is definitely my hope. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. You know, that's definitely my hope, exactly what you just said. Is that I'm hoping that those lessons, because all of those lessons that I put in the book are things that I worked with, that I have actually implemented with girls I've worked with. And so as the years have gone on, I've been doing this work for a lot of years, I've seen a lot of positive results. And so I'm hoping that that continues now that I've written a book and that there are more people can share the book and more people can read the book. I'm hoping that those same, you know, tools and lessons are able to spread out to more people than I can touch individually, because I'm only one little woman here. I can only do so much.
So not so little.
The book will get around. Thank you.
Yeah.
So hopefully the book
will
get around.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
That's the amazing thing about writing a book. You don't know how many people. You don't have to know. You don't have to be on top of how many people are going to get out of it. You don't have to know that somebody's life was saved because they read chapter 4, paragraph 6, and they just totally related to it. But you know it's out there, and you know what your intentions are and what you want to give as a gift to the world. That's all.
Absolutely. So true.
So if somebody wants a copy of your book, where would they go?
So they would go to Amazon. So it's on, if you do a search on Amazon, if you search Sacred Girl, the name of the book, and then put my name, or Sacred Girl Kenya Asa, my name, it's mm-hmm. going to pop up. It'll probably just pop up with Sacred Girl, but it's right there on Amazon available. And yeah, and I will have a link on my website as well. It's not on there yet because I'm still crafting my website, but I will probably within the next couple of days.
Well, actually, if you want to put a link on the description right below so that people can link on it as we talk, send me all the links that you want to put over there, and we will include that so that if you're listening and you really are interested and you want to check it out, then you'll be able to link that. So stay tuned. It will be there in a few days. And so you have a website in the works right now, so it's going to be ready in a few days. Anything else that you want to gear people towards if they're interested in hearing more about you?
That's about it. My website is rubyenvywellness.com, and there
nice.
Is a section on there. Yeah, there's a drop down for Sacred Girl for the book, and also you can mm-hmm. find me on Instagram, Sacred Girl Book mm-hmm. on Instagram, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. yeah, and I'm on Facebook under Ruby Envy also.
Wonderful. That's great. It's been a real pleasure having you with us here today. Thank you so much for joining us. Definitely, Thank you. I would definitely recommend for people to go ahead and check it out and see if it's for you, or maybe if a teenager in your life or another teenager that you might know that might need the book or might find it interesting, definitely feel free to check it out. This is just the beginning of a journey. You have a long way to go, and it sounds like mm-hmm. it would be very spiritual and very exciting. I'm very excited for you. So once again, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I've been talking to Kenya Asa, author of the book Sacred Girl. And any last-minute thoughts that you might want to leave us with?
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate what you said. It's a great book to give as a gift. For young girls or anybody working with young girls. And so really that's all I'm hoping is that it touches somebody's life. So I really appreciate you having me.
Wonderful. Have a wonderful journey.
Thank you.
Now we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. We want to wish you all a very spiritual, amazing journey in life.